We are blessed to have the Smiths with us this evening, Brother Doug and Sister Ashley and Shiloh. Amen. God bless them. I want them to come. I've asked him to minister to us this evening what God has laid on his heart. So while you're standing, Brother Smith, come and just minister and preach what God has given you for the Pentecostals of Orange Park. Amen.
Love you, Pastor. Appreciate you.
And praise the Lord, everybody. David said in the 27th Psalm, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Verse 4, he said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And he said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And it is such a privilege to be at the Pentecostals of Orange Park on a Wednesday night with the best people on the face of this planet. I'm looking at them right now. We just love each and every one of you so very much. We give honor to Pastor and Sister Thompson, their dedication to the kingdom of heaven. Aren't you thankful that God gave you a good pastor that loves and cares for you? And we appreciate the opportunity to come and to minister the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that still saves, still delivers, still heals, still encourages. And I believe God has a word for us this evening. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to open and read from the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4. And we're going to start Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 1. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. And as you turn in there, I do want to say how much I appreciate my wife, Ashley, my son, Shiloh. So glad they're with me in church. Pray for us. We leave tomorrow for Mississippi for their youth convention. So we're believing God. Souls are going to be saved and the power of God's going to fall. In Jesus' name. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 1. And this is what the Bible says. It says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" That last line that he spoke, he said, "Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" And that's what I want to bring our attention to, is speak on this subject, revival out of rubbish. Revival out of rubbish. Would you lift your hands? Would you raise your voice? Let's pray. Let's ask God to speak to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are thankful for your power and your presence and your spirit that is here. I pray that you would bless each and every individual. I'm asking, Lord, on this Wednesday, you would minister to souls. Let your spirit encourage and edify and empower and equip. And we give you praise and thanks in advance for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do in the name that's above every other name. In the name of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor, give him a high 10. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. Well, there are many times in my life that I have to just sit back in gratitude of all that God has done for me. I have a suspicion that many of you feel the exact same way. God has blessed us more than what we deserve. He's been better to me than I could ever have been to myself. He has heard my prayers. He has answered my prayers. He's moved on us and for us and through us. He is that constant source of hope that when we don't know what to do, and we're not sure of where to go or who to turn to, we can lift up our eyes to the hills, from which cometh our help, and He is that steady hand. He is constant and consistent. He has proven Himself faithful. Somebody ought to just say faithful. When I think of where I used to be and where I'm at now, I can't praise Him enough. I can't thank Him enough. The psalmist said, if I had 10,000 tongues, I'm still going to praise Him the way that He's really worthy of. And when we get to the book of Nehemiah, I just have to assume that that was the attitude of this man, who walked with the Lord, who lived for God, and the favor of heaven rested upon him. He was able to be promoted and elevated in the kingdom. He was raised consistently higher and higher and higher. Just a no-name individual from the children of Israel, but God smiled on him and promoted him. And for some reason, that is the method that God uses. He finds people that who are really unworthy, undeserving, and unsuited. And He begins to bless them and prosper them and use them and choose them. Just look throughout the Scriptures and we see it time and time again. God called Jeremiah when he was young, then called Abraham when he was old. He chose Jacob who cheated and David who murdered. He used Martha who worried and Gideon who was afraid. He spoke through Moses who stuttered and then spoke through Peter who cussed. God has this way of finding people with problems and individuals with issues. He can take somebody with self-doubt and say, now watch what I'm about to do in you and through you. Watch how I'm going to orchestrate your life. Watch as I order your footsteps in my perfect will. That is exactly what he did in Nehemiah's life. We find in the first chapter of Nehemiah that he's working in the palace. And not a typical, ordinary, everyday kind of job. He was an assistant to the king. He served as a cupbearer. Cupbearer is not a name that we use much in 2026. It's not a job description that you'll likely find when you're looking for places to send your resume in. Cupbearers were assistants to the king, but they were more than that. They were the king's confidants. They would tell them how to handle themselves in public and how they should dress and how people are perceiving them. But perhaps the greatest responsibility of the cupbearer is that he had to consistently risk his life for the king. Anytime the king would sit down to dine, there was always a worry, a fear, anxiety that the king would be poisoned, that there would be a traitor somewhere in the midst that would try to take out this ruler. And so someone that the king could fully trust, he would turn to his cupbearer and say, I want you to drink this first and make sure it's not poison. Now that's a friend right there. That's more than a job, that's a friend. I want you to go ahead and eat this fried chicken from Popeyes before I do. I want to make sure I'm not going to get poison. And every time the cupbearer would perform the responsibility, make sure, King, it's okay. I've tested the food. I've drank the liquids and everything is fine. And so he was always at the king's side, listening as the king would perform his duties. He would be there as other diplomats would come in and ask the king for favors and sometimes put requests upon the king. And And so he was constantly right in the center of attention. He was there in the midst of all the hustle and the bustle. He knew everything that was going on. He knew the gossip before it reached all the masses. In other words, he got it before Facebook ever did. He already had the pictures of the guilty people before they ever got to Instagram. He knew what was going on before it ever started. So he's always in the midst of these people coming and going. Just so happened in this first chapter of Nehemiah, he's there in the palace. He looks over and he sees a familiar face. He looks a little closer and he knows who that is. That's one of his brothers over in Israel and Judah. That's some of the men that he grew up with as a child. And he was just overcome with joy. Have you ever seen somebody that's almost a blast from the past? Seen somebody that's been 20, 30 years and he got to pause for a moment and make sure, is that who I really think it is? And he stops and pauses and says, now I know who that is. And he kind of calls over to him. And so that man makes his way to where Nehemiah is standing. And he walks over to Nehemiah. And of course, he asks the question, how's everything going at home? How's all the family doing? How's all the friends that we grew up with? And the man just stares at Nehemiah like he lost his mind. He stares at him and says, you haven't heard anything, have you? Nehemiah stands there and says, well, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And they said, well, it's obvious they're keeping this hush hush. But if you know what's really going on, you wouldn't be smiling. Because at home, things have gotten real bad. There's like a dark cloud of depression weighing on us. The gates have been burned. Jerusalem has been utterly destroyed. The people have been scattered. Hope has been lost. And it looks like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Nehemiah, you really aren't sure. You really don't know. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Life is bad. Talk about all the bad news at one time. My uncle had a saying. He said, I got good news, I got bad news. Bad news is there's no good news. This brother came, had only bad news. And Nehemiah's listening to this, and he's listening, and then he begins to process what's being said. You know, we live in a day and time we are so bombarded with bad news, we don't have time to process it. It's just so much bad news coming at you so fast. There's been a murder last night. All right. It doesn't even faze us anymore. There's been an accident on the same street, just not far from where you live. Doesn't even faze us because we don't even have time to process it. Because it's so much, so fast, all at once. And Nehemiah is trying to grab a hold of what this man is telling him. And he really begins to think about what is said. He said, so you're telling me that my cousins are now homeless. And what you're telling me is that my friends no longer have a place to call their own. You're telling me that the synagogue we used to worship in has been eradicated and destroyed. You're telling me that the places we used to go eat and the markets we would shop in, they're just no longer there. Nehemiah is so taken by this that he sits down and he begins to weep and he begins to cry. He begins to think about all the others that are in such terrible states. He begins to think about those that are less fortunate than him. He begins to consider how many are going through utter hell on earth. And Nehemiah, as he's sitting there, the Bible says something begins to happen to him. It says God begins to place a burden on Nehemiah. Never underestimate what can happen when God gives somebody a burden. Never discount what can transpire when there's just one willing individual that the Lord begins to speak to, that the Lord begins to deal with. And he begins to tell Nehemiah, what are you going to do about this, Nehemiah? Are you just going to go through the motions? Are you just going to go back to business as usual? Are you going to be used of me? Are you going to follow in my calling that I'm placed on your life? Nehemiah is thinking to himself, how am I going to be able to do something like this? God, I don't know how I'm going to bring this to pass. I don't even think the king is going to allow me a leave of absence. But he begins to trust in the Lord, and he begins to follow in the plan of God. And I'm not really sure how it all works, but I know this. When you are obedient to the call of God, he takes you to places that you never thought possible. He brings you before individuals that you are worthy to meet. He gives you favor that you know you are not qualified for. He gives you positions that you have only dreamed about. So Nehemiah walks into the presence of the king and hands him his cup and hands over the plate of food. But only this time, Nehemiah, who's normally pretty positive, Nehemiah, who's usually smiling, Nehemiah, who's never downtrodden or negative, he's looking a little gloomy. He's looking a little sad. The king looks at him and says, Nehemiah, what's wrong with you? He says, I just can't be happy knowing what's going about at home. I just can't have a smile on my face knowing that my brothers and my sisters, knowing that my friends and my loved ones are going through such adversity. And the king doesn't even wait for a request. He says, Nehemiah, what do you need? See, sometimes the Lord will go before us, and he's got the answer before we even ask for it. I don't know if Nehemiah realized it or not, but God had already put this in action. He had already granted him favor. He had already opened up the door. Nehemiah said, well, if you think if it's at all possible, would you grant me leave to go back home and help those that I love? The king said, I'm giving you anything you ask. What do you want? Money? I'm going to give it to you. Letters? I'll give it to you. You need something? You just come to me. I'm not going to withhold anything from you. All right. And so Nehemiah leaves the palace, sets out on his journey. This now, we're coming to chapter 2 of Nehemiah. And when he gets there, he sees it with his eyes. He begins to witness it firsthand. The utter destruction. The hope that has been completely taken away from God's people. And he goes and he begins to speak to them. He begins to speak encouraging words. He says, you know, this it's not always going to be like this. They didn't hear what he was saying, but Nehemiah was telling them, I know things are not what we really want right now. And I know that we don't have the money that we need. And I know that it looks like the past is becoming the present and the present's becoming the future. But Nehemiah began to lift up his voice and say, listen, you don't have to live like this. You don't have to be pushed down under the weight of the enemy and the adversary. He said, we are not going to die in our distress. We are not going to crumble in our crisis. Our future is not going to be forever futile. Our mission is not going to be meaningless. Our purpose is not pointless. God is working on our behalf. And I'm telling you, God's going to raise us up. I just feel like preaching this to somebody. Can I just follow the Holy Ghost for a moment? Somebody tonight's feeling down on their luck because the weight of the world is on your shoulder. Can I encourage you for a moment? It's not always going to be like this. Trouble's not going to last always. You're not always going to be... I feel the Holy Ghost. You're not always going to be beaten down by the enemy of our soul. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:8, he said, we are troubled on every side, but we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. God is for us. I wish you'd tell somebody, God is for you. Come on, point to yourself. Say, God is for me. God is for me. Yes, He is. Woo! God is for you, brother. God is for you, sister. Hey, that doesn't mean troubles don't come, but that doesn't mean God isn't for you. What does the scripture say in Romans 8:31? It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God's fighting our battles, if God is moving on our prayers, if God is raising up the banner. Woo! And he was trying to spark a little hope in them. Trying to spark a little confidence. We can do this. We don't have to stay like this. Our future is not going to be in this kind of state. You know what we can do? We're going to build it up. We're going to restore the gates. We're going to build the walls. We're going to bring back the glory like it used to. We're going to start small. See, the Ecclesiastes says, do not despise the day of small things. When God starts moving on the small things, that means it's only a matter of time. He's about to unfold the big things. We got to start building it up. We got to start working together. We've got to be convinced. We have to be persuaded that God is going to work with us and through us. So they start working on the wall. Now you got to remember, it's still early on in the revival campaign. It's early on in the building fund, huh? We ain't got the hundreds of thousands yet. We only got hundreds, but we're working in the building fund. Huh? We're working there. So they start building up the walls and starting putting pieces together and putting leaves and grass and putting whatever they can to fill in the holes. And all of a sudden, here comes the enemy. Here comes the naysayers. And they come to our text in Nehemiah chapter 4. And they said, wow, y'all really got it together, don't you? Look at this wall that you're building. Just look at. He began to mock. He began to ridicule. He began to criticize. He began to slander. Don't you hate that when there's somebody that's trying to push you down, trying to mess with your psyche? Don't you have people like that on your job, people like that in school, people like that in life? So you can't live better than this. This is how it's always going to be. He goes a step further. He says, who do these Jews think they are? Are they going to be able to fortify themselves? Are they going to be able to sacrifice? Are they going to be able to make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? The only thing you have that you can use is rubbish. That's what you're trying to build the wall with, is rubbish. In other words, it's garbage. It's trash. It's what others have thrown away. It's what others deemed invaluable. It's what others said, there's no use to keep it anymore. Let me take it down to the curb. Let me put it in the trash can and let it be hauled off by somebody else. And Nehemiah was the first to speak up and say, the rubbish that you have discounted, the rubbish that you see no value in, that is exactly how the revival is going to start. He's going to find people that come from wayward lives. He's going to find people that have been in prison cells and living in jail. He's going to find people that have been homeless and living under the bridge. He's going to find people that have struggled with drug addiction and alcoholism all their life. He's going to find people that have battled depression and battled suicide. And that is exactly the revival that's coming. The revival that's on the way. They may not walk in pretty. They may not walk in polished. They may not walk in perfect. But that's who God uses. That's who God selects. You know how I know that? Because I was rubbish one day. I was on my way to a devil's hell. My life was worthless. My future was gone. But God reached down. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. God reached down to a no good sinner. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a solid rock. He established my going. Is there anybody that could shout and say, thank God He found me. Thank God He rescued me. Thank God He restored me. Thank God He revived me. Somebody ought to let a praise out. Somebody ought to just let a shout. Come on, there's a blessing right now. I got more to preach, but there's a blessing right now for somebody. If you need encouragement, you ought to just raise your hands. Come on, if you need strength, you ought to just lift up your voice and say, I receive it. I receive it. I receive revival in my life, revival in my health, revival in my finances, revival in my walk with God, revival in my family, revival in my community. Come on, we ought to just stay here just for another moment. My God, I feel something happening in the spirit. Hallelujah. I know it's Wednesday, but I feel a supernatural work right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I feel that miracle working power right now. Come on, why don't you just lay your arm on somebody's shoulder if it's all right. Come on, let's just pray one for another for a moment. Hallelujah. Come on, you don't know what that brother's going through. Come on, you don't know what that sister's going through. In the name of Jesus, come on, you are not alone. You are not by yourself. God sees value in you. God sees you as a treasure. You are special in the eyes of God. He chose you. He selected you. Yeah. Ha ha ha. That's it. Flow just one more moment. Can we do that? Just one more moment. Can we just flow in the Holy Ghost? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on. That's it, young person. Come on. Let the Lord use you right now. Come on, saint of God. Let the Spirit flow through you. Let the power of God descend in you. It's all right. God can bless right now. That's okay. God can heal right now. God can answer prayer this very moment.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus' name. Woo. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, oh, yes.
Oh, let's thank Him one more moment. The music's making their way to the front right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
There's always going to be adversaries trying to stop the revival. Even when Nehemiah was up on the wall, they hired so-called false prophets and said, "Hey, you need to come down. You need to stop." Nehemiah said, "You're not the one that called me. And you're not going to be the one that stops me." Others came and said, "Hey, let's make a deal." Others said, "Look at the people you got working on this. We know what they've done." Nehemiah would say, "I don't know what they've done, but I know what they're getting ready to do. I may not know the past, but I sure know the future. The future is revival. The future is blessing. There's blessings here tonight. There's blessings on our families." Woo! I feel that. Hallelujah. You know I don't normally operate in this realm, but I feel the prophetic tonight. There's blessings about to be poured out on families. Hallelujah. There's blessings about to be poured out on children. Hallelujah. You got children that are lost. If you got children that are prodigals, if you have children that have drifted away from the ark of safety, I want you to raise your hands right now. I feel a revival about to Eshaba. I feel a revival of prodigals. Yes, Lord. I speak it right now upon the authority of the Word of God and the power that's in the name of Jesus. I pray for backslidden children tonight. They're going to come back to the ark of safety. I speak it under the authority of the Holy Ghost. I speak it for lost family members that have drifted away from the church. Hey, Katalabas, it may look like rubbish. It may look hopeless. It may look like there's no future, but I speak revival. I speak it into the hearts of your people. I speak it into our homes. I speak it into our futures. In the name of Jesus.
If you're hungry for revival in your life, why don't we just step out of where we're at and come down to the front? If you're hungry for the blessings of God, if you're hungry for the goodness of the Lord, if you're hungry for provision, if you're hungry for the anointing, if you're hungry for supernatural miracles, hey, today is the day that revival's coming out of rubbish. Today is the day. It's on you. It's on you right now. In the name of Jesus, it's on you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The power of God is upon you. The anointing of the Spirit is upon you. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church, let's pray together. Come on, church, let's worship together. There's a special blessing here tonight. Don't you feel it? Don't you feel it? There's a special blessing here tonight. I'm not leaving without it. I'm not leaving the same way I came. I receive it. I receive it from God.